Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Let's turn in our Bibles to that same passage, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. We have Bibles in our Lost and Found right over here under the clock. If you do not have a Bible, I would encourage you to grab one so you can follow along with us. And we will be able to move through a couple passages together. Matthew chapter 6, and I will read verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Today we're going to talk about the materialism malfunction. The materialism malfunction. And I want you to note that in Jesus' teaching on money, in these six verses, Jesus points out three malfunctions that we will be experiencing in our body. And he's using the body here as a picture of our spirit, of our soul, of our spiritual discernment. Now, notice what he says in verse 21. If you will look with me at that, at verse 21, what body part is identified in verse 21? A heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, what body part is identified in verse 22, the second picture that Jesus gives here? The eye. He says, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. It's the eye. Now, what body part, if not referenced, or what human function is referenced in verse 24? No man can serve two masters. He's referring to your body. He is referring to your action. He is referring to everything that springs from yourself. And it is these three bodily functions, bodily parts, that materialism will always lead to a malfunction in. It will always corrupt. And so we're going to talk about this materialism malfunction today. Now you ask me, Peter, what is materialism? What is materialism? Well, materialism is seeing everything as being essentially founded, as essentially based on the materials that you possess. Materialism is a philosophy that looks to how much you have as a microcosm of how good your life is. Are you happy? Well, do you have a lot of money? Do you have a lot of possessions? Do you have a lot of things? Do you have a nice house? Well, certainly you must be happy. And the person who is pursuing materialism is the same person who is pursuing money as the object of the good life of happiness. It's the person who is pursuing possessions, that house, that car, that watch, that jewelry, those possessions, those things. That's in a nutshell what materialism is. And Jesus makes so clear here, after he's just gotten done, saying, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, that is to say, we don't need anything else, just give us our physical needs, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then a few short verses later, he says, you want to know what materialism does to you? You want to know what the love of money does to you? Do you know what the desire for possessions and things does to you? It causes a malfunction. So today, we are going to talk about, first of all, a distracted heart. Secondly, we're going to talk about a distracted heart. Then we're going to talk about a darkened sight. And then third, we're going to talk about a disobedient service. A disobedient service. These are the malfunctions of a materialistic man. Let's talk first of all about the distracted heart, and this is going to be the first picture that Jesus gives of what materialism looks like. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, verse 19. He says, instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's talk first of all about the concept of treasure. Treasure. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, I don't think I need to explain to you too much of what treasure is. Children grow up knowing what treasure is by the fairy tale, by the children's story. The concept of buried treasure is one that thrills young people. I remember, some of you may know, in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, every winter, as they're coming up on the Winter Carnival, the St. Paul Pioneer Press has in it a what? A treasure hunt. It has a medallion that is buried someplace in the city of St. Paul, and it has clues. And you're supposed to go and look for it. You're supposed to say, okay, what place in St. Paul could they be talking about? And thousands of people go out every year to try to find this medallion. The concept of treasure resonates with people. And I remember as a kid, I would read those clues, and I'd try to figure out, and my dad would just say, oh, I'm convinced it's right out here in Matamidi. You know, he would have that, it's right up there by that water tower. And I was like, oh, man, we should go and search. Let's go. Well, of course, it was nowhere near Matamidi. But my dad liked to play along with us on that one. Well, that concept of treasure, but really, what is treasure if we were to boil it down to its essence? Isn't it something that just has value? Treasure is something that is of great value, that is put a premium on. If you think of buried treasure, what are you thinking of when you open up that lid? What are you expecting to see? You're expecting to see gold and silver and jewels, the light reflecting off it and just being brilliant. And you're saying, that is valuable. That has value. So when Jesus says, lay up not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What he's saying is, what is valuable? What is important? What do you prize as having great value? Now, secondly, look at here, the treasuring. Now, Jesus has a little bit of a wordplay here, or a little bit of a delightful use of language. Do you know that the word he uses in Greek for lay up is the same one that he uses for treasure? In other words, you know what you could also say he's saying? Treasure not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And we understand why he said it like that. Because if you find something to be very valuable, you will treasure it. Think of the great family heirloom that has so much value to you. You treasure that. You treasure the thing that you put up in a special place and say, this was my grandmother's. And then sometimes we look back and say, you know, I really wish that had been treasured a little bit more. My dad had a whole collection of old baseball cards. And my grandma pitched them one day. Like, Grandma, what are you doing? Those things could have been very valuable today. And sometimes people just don't see something as having value, and so they don't treasure it. But Jesus is making a common sense point here. Treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But third, look here at what this says about the treasurer. You see, Jesus makes a really wonderful point here. He says, don't treasure up treasures that people call treasures on earth. He says, because moth and rust will corrupt them. You want to know what happens to your nicest clothes? If you don't watch out, a moth's going to get in there and eat a hole on them, and they're going to be ruined. You have this shiny car, you go out and buy a Bentley. You know what's going to happen in a few years? Give it 10, give it 15 years in a Minnesota winter, if even that. There's going to start rust forming all over it.
Yeah, with or without
Z-bar? I don't know, Johnny. That's a good point. Maybe you can lengthen the lifespan a little bit there. But then what happens to your $200,000 investment? There's rust. It depreciates. You know, it's like when you buy a car. The minute you drive it off the lot, it already depreciates a good $5,000+. The value is already gone. And from that time, it's a steady depreciation of the value. Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because moth and rust corrupt them, and thieves break through and steal them. Any point that you have a treasure here on earth, it is susceptible to theft. It is susceptible to you losing it. That's why the proverb writer says, well, don't you know that riches make themselves wings? Isn't that a wonderful picture of wealth being like a bird that can escape out of your cage and fly away at any minute? And I'm sure you know stories, I know stories, we hear these tragic stories of the person down the block who won the lottery, won $50 million. You say, well, that's certainly good enough for them, and now look 10 or 20 years later and they're bankrupt. They have nothing. All their wealth flew away. I was struck recently by learning that 50 Cent, the rap artist, filed for bankruptcy. This is a man who has earned hundreds of millions of dollars in his career, who has been a celebrated musical artist, and now saying, I'm bankrupt. I can't pay my debts.
Look at the sports stars that are getting rid of their rings.
That's right.
And their trophies.
That's right. Whatever it is, riches make themselves wings. But look at what Jesus says. Why we should treasure up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He says, because no moth or rust gets in up there. No thieves break through and steal your heavenly treasure. Now you say, what treasure is this? What is he talking about? Do you remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a what? A crown of righteousness. Paul could look forward to his time in heaven and say, there's a crown up there for me. There's an incredibly treasured, valuable crown for me. Jesus said, in my house there are many mansions. In my place where I am, there are many places of residence for you. Peter says that we are looking forward to an inheritance undefiled and that fadeth not away. It's an inheritance for us that's not defiled. It's not divided. There's nothing wrong with it. It will never fade away. It's yours. Jesus himself said, do you know what? If you give a cup of cold water to one of my followers because he's a Christian, you will not lose your reward. There will be a reward for you that you will not lose. Now, friends, we talk about investment strategies. Some of you may be interested in being in investment, an investor. You work with investor. You figure out, okay, do I put it in this stock or in this stock? Do I put it in this bank or in this bank? What do I do? Think about what this investment strategy is. Are you going to put all your labor? Are you going to put all your time? Are you going to put all your effort and your money into accruing and laying up for yourselves these heaping treasures that will one day make themselves wings and fly away? You know, it's been said that no one has ever had a U-Haul towing a hearse. You understand what they're saying? No U-Haul is ever following right behind a hearse because you can't take that with you. It's going to be gone someday. You're going to leave it out to who? Your children, who may decide to waste it. Your grandchildren may waste it. All that you worked for, it's going to fly away at some point. Jesus says the right investment strategy is to lay up for yourselves treasure in a heavenly bank account. You know, just one very practical application of this. Daniel says in the book of Daniel that they who win souls are wise, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Are you investing your time to win souls? When's the last time you've told someone about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you've sacrificed of yourselves to say, I'm going to go tell someone else about Jesus Christ? There's opportunities. We do it every Saturday morning here at church. We do it Wednesday nights here at church. Are you sacrificing to say, there's treasure to be had? Let me go for it. That was one of the things I was most grateful about my father. He really believed that there was treasure in heaven for him. He believed that what he was doing here on earth made a difference, that there was value to be had, and he pursued it. That's the investment strategy to take. But Jesus goes on to make another point. He says, don't you know that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is? Don't you know that what you hold and put extreme value on, that's where your heart's going to be? Think about that person who has something in his car, and he realizes he's left it unlocked. There's my Stradivarius violin. It's in my car. There's my iPhone 6. I left it in my car, and the door is unlocked. Where's that person's heart? Where's that person's mind? He can't think about anything else about, did anyone get in there and grab that? Did anyone take that priceless possession that I had? Is that still safe? And Jesus is making a simple point. When your treasure is here on earth, your heart is going to be there too. That's what you're going to love. That's what you're going to desire. That's what you're going to cherish. And Jesus says, when your treasure is in heaven, when that's what you find valuable, it doesn't matter what others find valuable here, you find valuable the reward in heaven. That's where your heart will be. So you see, friends, materialism gives a distracted heart. It has a heart that is away from the things of God. And that's why Paul says so clearly in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
I think I heard somebody say something like, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead.
That's a good way to look at it, Johnny. That's a good saying. You see, set your affection. Place your affection on what you find valuable, and there will be a single heart for you. So a distracted heart, but look secondly at a darkened sight. A darkened sight. Look first of all here at the concept. Now, will someone read those verses for me? Just those next two verses, verse 22 and verse 23. Who has that in their Bibles and would be willing to read that for us? Matthew 6. Betsy, do you want to read that? 22 and 23. What does he mean? What does that mean? He says the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. What does he mean? What does he mean? Well, first of all, there's a concept here. The light of the body is the eye. And the other way you could say that is the lamp of the body is the eye. Where do we perceive light in our body? Through our eyes.
If we have light.
That's exactly, that's in Johnny, we have a good, we have an illustration of this right here. The concept, Jesus says, it's a very natural physical phenomenon. We perceive light, we understand that there is light from the light perceptors in our eye. And so what Jesus is saying is, the person who has a single eye, the idea there being a good eye, you would say. One person, not a person who can't focus, not a person who is, does not have light perceptors in their eye, who is blind. That person has a body that is full of light. They see things for what they are. They perceive them as they actually are. If your eye is single, your body is full of light. Now, Jesus is making a spiritual application from this physical truth. He's saying if your spiritual eye is single. Now, do you know that a very related Greek word here in the New Testament is used for generosity? And I think Jesus is making another play on words here. He's saying if your eye is single, if it is generous, if your spiritual sight is not only fixed on God, but is generous, is abundant, is liberal to everyone else, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, you will be able to see things spiritually for what they are. Do you remember what James says? He says, a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Because he's not able to discern. But the person who has a single sight on God and his kingdom, the one who is focused solely on him, does not have double vision, is not blinded to spiritual things, his whole body is lit up. His conduct reflects that he sees things as God wants him to see. Now look here, the very direct contrast. Jesus says, but if your eye is evil, now let's take that physically, what is he saying? If you have a bad eye, if like Johnny here, you are not able to see, he says your whole body is full of darkness. There is a darkness that comes with being unable to see, unable to perceive. Now let's draw a spiritual truth. That's right. What about a spiritual truth from this? Here's the point that Jesus is making. If your eye is evil, if your eye is distracted toward material things, if you are infected with the love of money, if you are pursuing that as your end, Jesus says your entire body is full of darkness. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That the person who is pursuing the things, the treasures that are here on this earth, they're pursuing their big house, they're pursuing their fancy car, that's their goal, that's their desire, that's their pursuit. They're dark. They're dark. They can't discern spiritual truth. They can't discern what God... Their body is not light. It is darkness. And look what Jesus said here as the consequence. Jesus has to make an editorial comment here. He's not just giving this analogy, but what does he end verse 23 by saying? Can someone read that for me? Verse 23. What does he say, the last phrase in verse 23? And if the light that is in thee be darkness, read it together with me. How great is that darkness? He says, how great is it? Can you imagine Jesus marveling over the darkness in someone's heart when he looks at them and says, that person is materialistic. That person loves money. That person desires the things of this earth. He's treasuring up for himself treasures here. Now look at this. You say, well, I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of treasure that I've been treasuring up. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, what's your sight? What's your goal? What's your pursuit? Because the person who's pursuing those things is darkened, has a darkened perception of spiritual truth. Now, if you will, turn over with me to Luke. The book of Luke, two books over from Matthew. And look with me at verse 5, 12, excuse me, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Look at this powerful statement and this powerful story that Jesus shares with us. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware of that materialistic impulse. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Put that simply. A man's life is not all about what he owns. A man's life is not all about how much money he has. That's not what it's about. Now look what he says. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Understand what Jesus is saying here. He's saying this rich man was a fool because he thought that his life consisted only in how many barns he had and how much treasure he laid up in those barns. And when he got to a certain point, he said, I'm good. I've got it. It's time to kick back and relax. And God says, you're a fool because tonight you're going to die. And then whose are those things going to be? You are not rich toward God at all. Your sight has been completely darkened to what's important in life and what's completely unimportant. There's a story I read of a man who was shot to death in the city of Los Angeles. And as it was reported that as he was dying, he called out the name of his three children. And yet, you know what was clutched in his hand was his Rolex watch. It was a spate of Rolex robberies. And as he clung to his Rolex, to his possession, he was willing to take that over his three children. Now, we say that's a fool. His sight was darkened. He didn't get it. He didn't see what was important. And before we just criticize that person, before we say, well, I'd never do that, what a fool that is. Maybe we should look at ourselves to say, where's my treasure? What do I see as important to heap up for myself? And is my treasure in heaven right now? Am I sacrificing for that? Am I working for that? You know, friends, if you want to know where your heart is, I can tell you, show me your checkbook. Really? Show me your credit card statement. Show me your bank account. I'll tell you where your heart is, because that's where your treasure is. That's what you value. That's what you sacrifice for. That's what you give of yourself for. And until we have a radical shift, until we start saying, no, what's valuable is what's up in heaven, we are going to have a diseased, a distracted heart, and a darkened sight. And now look, very, very, I think should put us trembling, is this disobedient service. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. This is really the summation of it. He says, yeah, you've got a darkened heart, you've got a darkened sight, but let me tell you what is the most critical thing here. It's that you have a disobedient service. First of all, let's understand here the imperative. The imperative. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. And then he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, first of all, what's implicit here, what's the imperative, is that you have a duty to serve God. 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul tells the Thessalonians, he says, you turned from idols to serve the living God. And that word serve there means to be a slave. You and I have obligations to be a slave to God. Why? Because he's purchased us. He's bought us. He has redeemed us. He came to the slave block, so to speak. And we were there chained to sin. We were the devil's property. We were submitting ourselves to him. And Jesus Christ, on his work on the cross, said, I'll buy him. I'll buy her. I'll buy all of them. I'll buy all of them that will call on my name. And he has redeemed you if you are here today as a Christian, as one who has been born again. And so the truth of it is, you owe God your service. He is your master. That's the imperative. But what Jesus says here is, there far too often is a corrupt interest. No man can serve two masters. And friends, how many of us try? You may be sitting there today saying, well, you're preaching about money, but that's fine, but I can give this for God, and I can give this for my money. I can give this toward the service of the church and toward the service of Jesus Christ, and I'll just hold this over here to have my desires toward that big house and that big car and that multi-million dollar estate. But Jesus has no room. He says you cannot serve. You cannot be the bondservant to God, and you cannot be the bondservant to mammon. Now, what is mammon? It's a little bit unclear. It's a foreign term. And it seems to be, though, in context, it's clearly referring to this materialistic impulse, to the love of money, which Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. No man can serve it. Now, this interest that we have, friends, is so dangerous. So dangerous because we see it so easily. You know, Scripture has this kind of idea in other places, too. James, the book of James, says, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You can't be friends with both of them. Now, why does he say that? Because we want to be friends with both. We want to be cool with God, and we want to be cool with the world. We want to be respected by God, but we want to be respected by the world, too. We want to enjoy God's things, but we kind of want to enjoy what the world has to offer, too. And that's why James makes it so clear. You're either the friend of one and the enemy of the other, or the friend of one or the enemy. You just can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. And this is such a critical thing for us to understand, this interest that is so easily seen in us. But third here, let's look at the impossibility. Why is it that you cannot serve two masters? It's pretty simple. We explained it for the children upstairs and downstairs with a little skit. I walked up and I was telling, we're learning today about the principle, you cannot serve two masters. And Eric Meyer walks up with a broom and interrupts me and says, all right, stop giving this lesson. You got to start sweeping. So I say, okay, sorry kids, he's my boss. I got to do it. I'll get back to you in a little bit. So I start sweeping. And sure enough, Daniel Malter comes over from the other side and says, hey, put that broom down. I've got a job for you. Start picking up trash. So I drop the broom down and I go, I start picking up trash. Eric Meyer comes walking up and says, what are you doing this? You're supposed to be sweeping. And I go back here and Daniel Malter, yep. That's what it means to serve two masters. That's what it means to serve. And you know how we understand why this is the case? Because God and the materialistic impulse will always be at loggerheads. They will always be telling you conflicting things. Do you know what God says? God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Your master of the materialistic impulse says, "Don't. What are you talking about? You can't even see heaven. You don't even know it's there. Lay it up here. That's your life. Eat, drink, and be merry." God's impulse says, you know what? If I give you resources, if I give you riches, it's not wrong for you to be rich. If I give it to you, but then be rich in good works. Be rich in giving to other people. Be generous. Don't hold things up for yourselves and hoard them. Give them to others. Meet the needs of the poor. Your materialistic impulse says, what are you talking about? No, this is for you. This is your retirement. This is your time to kick back and enjoy the fruits of what you've done. You see, it's always going to be at loggerheads. It's always going to be a conflict. And Jesus says you cannot serve both. Friends, this would be a good principle for us to put in ourselves and to deeply, deeply ingrain in ourselves. To say that when I am giving in to my materialistic impulse, when I am giving in to my covetous impulse, it tells me one thing. I am rebelling against God. when I am serving my desire for money, my love for covetousness, I am rebelling against God, because no man can serve two masters. Friends, we would do well this morning to consider whether there is a malfunction going on in ourselves, whether there is a malfunction that is a distracted heart that is distracted from the things of God because our treasure is here on earth and that's where our heart is. Whether there's a malfunction in our vision that we can't discern spiritual things, we can't discern what God wants for us because our heart is consumed, our sight is darkened by the love of money. And whether we are living in rebellion to God on a day-by-day basis because we are attempting to serve the God of materialism, the God of money. Friends, may we hear the words of Jesus today. May we ingrain them in ourselves. And may we take seriously what Jesus says. Beware of covetousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the truth. It sheds light, it sheds all over our path. Father, thank you for this teaching that goes so directly against what we hear in the world today. All around us we see the covetous desires, we see advertisements that seek to stir up our materialistic impulse. Oh Father, would you give us grace? Would we see the need to lay up treasures in heaven? Father, where there is materialism and covetousness, even here among us, even in my heart, Father, would you make it very clear? May we repent, may we confess it to you, and may we begin with a single eye laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.